This is A Lost Plot, the podcast where we explore meaning in movies together. Hello, universe. Welcome back. It is your boy back with another episode of, you guessed it, A Lost Plot. As always, I am your host, Maverick, and today we have our co-host back with us again, Avalon. Avalon, thanks for being back.
Hello, hola, konnichiwa, and leho.
Now, today, we are reviewing a recent release for America. Psyched ourselves. Okay, anyways, One Life, we're reviewing. It's a biographical drama film. It was released in the Toronto International Film Festival in September 9th of 2023, but then it was released in the UK on January 1st of this year, and then just released in the United States on March 15th of 2024. So this past weekend, if you're watching this on time. If our review's late, whatever. It's a good movie. It's worth watching to a certain degree. We'll see exactly how much it's worth watching in a second. But before we get to that, the screenplay is by Lucinda Coxon and Nick Drake. It's directed by James Hawes. It's based on the book It's Not Impossible, The Life of Sir Nicholas Winton by Barbara Winton. And it stars Anthony Hopkins as Nicholas Winton, Johnny Flynn as young Nicholas Winton, Helena Bonham Carter as Bobby Winton, his mom. And the list goes on. We're not going to go through everyone because we never do, but what we are going to go through is a summary of the movie and then our rating. So, Avalon, you want to kick that off?
Yeah, so the movie is about Nicky Winton, who's a stockbroker in London, I think, at the time. and so he takes a trip to what is Prague at the time, I think, but it's Czechoslovakia. He takes a trip out there and he sees the refugee crisis from Nazi Germany, the people fleeing the Nazis from and then he gets involved once he sees their plight, and he's like trying to get as many of the children out of there before the Nazis take control of the area.
Nice. Yep, it's pretty much a summary of the movie.
Well, I mean, that's part of it, but the other part is like 50 years, like years later, like his older self, like remembering and figuring out what to do with his guilt and regret.
Right. And when you put it like that, it sounds like they're two distinct stages, but how they play it out in the movie, they're interspersed with each other. So that adds to how the story is told. But overall, Avalon, what did you give this movie? We've got the 9-point system. How did it rank?
I don't know how this happened, but I got a 7.600000000000005.
Wait. What was your first number again?
7.6. But there's like a gazillion zeros after that and a 5 at the very end of that, which I don't know how that happened, but here we are.
That is indeed interesting. We will have to look into that little glitch before the next podcast comes out, but for now, that is a valid review number. 7.6, 10 zeros and a 5.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.6, about 10 zeros and a 5. So not only did I give the exact same review as you, but I got the glitch as well. How this happened, we don't know. We'll figure it out later. What we do know is it's just a little bit better than 7.6. Just a little bit.
Better. A little bit.
Barely
just
better.
Just a smidge.
So, yeah, I honestly, two things surprised me. One, how that happened. But second off, this is, I think, the first time we have both given a movie the exact same score.
Yeah, what are the chances?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm eating an orange.
Okay.
So, that is very exciting. I'm very curious to see how we align on this and if there is differences in what we thought of this movie. So let us get into it. Before we get into it, if you're in America and you haven't seen this yet, what is your thought? Should they see it? Should they just go on with the review and hear what we have to say? What are your thoughts? 7.6.
I mean, as far as the movies I've seen this year, this might be one of the best movies I've seen this year so far. I'm not sure it's one of the best movies I've seen of all time, but it is one of, like, as far as the movies that have come out this year, this is probably one of the best ones I've seen and one of my favorite ones I've seen this year. So,
yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I would say if you're going to watch any movie so far this year in cinema, except for maybe Dune 2, just because of how cinematic Dune 2 is. Other than that,
Dune 2 and
this is the movie that I would say I would probably go watch in theaters and get it out because it's solid. I guess that's all there is to say on that point specifically. So let's get into the rating. So the opener, did the opener catch your attention and make you want to keep watching, Avalon? What'd you think?
It did for me. It wasn't like dramatic or anything, but it was just enough to like not be feel average. I don't know. Because it like starts with like the headline, like kind of giving a brief idea of the war and like some of the like establishing like what this movie is going to be about. And then it shows us photographs of kids and it kind of like establishes Nikki's character before going back in time to just before, like, what, 1930s, 1940s, when the war is, like, just starting, like, when Germany is starting to expand. Mm-hmm. So, like, just the whole, like, the way they introduced his character, the way it happened, it wasn't, like, amazing, but it wasn't, like, I don't know, it wasn't average to me, anyway. Like, I was kind of intrigued by some of the things, the visuals they used, and by showing me some of the, what they showed me, I was like, okay, this is interesting, okay, like, I get where we are. This is World War II. I see this guy. You see the present day first. Like, you see, like, the photographs, and you're like, okay. But then you see something, maybe, like, something is bothering him a little bit, but you don't know what it is. Like, there's hints of something. Yeah. And then it's, like, then it cuts back in time to that era. So it's like, okay, we're getting the story of how, it's like, something happened. So, like, without getting into too much details at that point in the movie, like you're given just enough to like, okay, something. And I don't know how to fully explain it. Just like, I was intrigued. Like, I guess overall I was intrigued.
So, yeah. I would say, did you give full points on this part? Or
no,
did you
actually didn't. I gave it like, I think it got 0.4 out of 0.5. Okay. So
yeah. I mean, I didn't give it full points on this. I gave it 0.3. So not much different from you. I do think that they do some really critical parts at the beginning, right? Showing, you know, he's just an old man doing old man things at that time. He's swimming, he's cleaning, he's doing stuff like that. Obviously, he has some attachment to this satchel that he has from, which is indicated it's from World War II. And there's these pictures of the kids. So there was hints there that something wasn't quite right. This kind of reminded me of the opener to Ferrari, right? Which doesn't go super crazy, but it has just a couple things going on that are a little odd. It's in a different way, but it's got that same kind of thing. It's like, this is a normal world. This is a normal dude doing normal world things, but there's a couple things going on here. It was that kind of opener. I did think it took a while to get started, which was the bigger thing for me. It was setting things up well. So I can't even fault it too much for this, but it was just like, okay, you take a long time with him seeing his wife off and all these other things. And it's just like, do we really need this much going on? What we're really interested in is what he actually did during his time as a stockbroker. And then in the refugee crisis. So anyways, not going to get too caught up in that. I just thought it was interesting. It was a fine opener. It was solid. You know, it was good. And and it set up all the right things. So, like, you know, his wife getting Greta, getting him to try to clean out his office, which is an absolute mess, right? And you're like, that doesn't really matter that much. And it's not like she's a nag or anything. She's just like, hey, you really need to do this. And him trying to be a good husband goes to do it. That being said, you could tell there's some emotional weight with everything that's in this office. And it's there's a reason he hasn't cleaned it out yet. And so when he goes to clean it out, part of that is him trying to reconcile this past life with who he is today. And that becomes more clear as the story progresses. But they set that kind of thing up well at the beginning. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It was a decent opener. It just, it was pretty slow in my opinion. But yeah, anyways, not too much on that. The main character, what did you think of Nicholas Winton as a character? Did you think that he was compellingly flawed?
I think he was compellingly flawed. And at first, it's hard to pinpoint what his flaw is because he's such a nice guy. He's such a relatively good person where it's like he's like your average guy. He's trying. He works hard. He cares about people. He's humble. So it's almost like hard to say, oh, he has a flaw or something. But then as the movie progresses, it's like you realize he's something of a perfectionist where it's like he doesn't like if he fails at something, he's like or he does something like he's like, oh, I could have done better. Like, I should have done more. Like, I should, like, it's like he puts himself down, like, very hard, where it's like, and like, that's part of his struggle as an older man, where it's like, he feels like, I should have done more. I should have succeeded far more than what I did. So that more lives were saved. And it's like, and he almost feels like it's his fault that people died. So it's like, he puts that blame on himself, which is a very human flaw, a very human response to that situation.
Yeah. So. And that's one thing they do very beautifully in this movie is they reveal to greater and greater depths something that is kind of you could have guessed that pretty early on that there was some level of a problem with how things turned out in whatever happened in Czechoslovakia. That being said, the slow gravity that they add to each thing is well done to develop the overall guilt that he has, right? And he carries it with him. He can't let go of the past. And especially when he keeps looking at the picture of the little girl with the baby in her arms, right? And that just eats at him. You know, multiple scenes where you see the same picture of the same girl and he just can't get it out of his mind that he didn't save her. And it's what a good story does. So I was very, I thought he was, we'll get more into that, but I thought he as a main character excellently developed, especially because like you said, he doesn't have a lot of flaws. And oftentimes that's where you get these magnanimous characters that are so amazing. And at the end of the day, you can't relate to them at all. And you're like, why am I like, why do you think I care about this character? You know? If you have more to say on that, feel free. But
no, that sums up most everything. I mean, he's a very well developed character, and he's played brilliantly by both Anthony Hopkins and I forget the other actor's name, but both of them play his younger and older self pretty well. Like he is like a well nuanced character, fully developed.
100%. Side characters. What did you think of all of the characters around Nicholas? Did you think they were compelling in their own way?
Or individually motivated. Motivated. So I would say, like, I almost gave this less points, but then I realized how I was thinking about it was wrong, only because, so, like, because they're all kind of going for the same goal. Like, some of these side characters, like, okay. And almost like, well, fine, false. Like, oh, they're just helping the main character out. But then, like, wait, hang on. This is a wartime situation. These characters are here specifically for the refugees. Like they're not necessarily on Nick's project, but they're there to help the people, to help the refugees, and to help the like trying to figure out a situation for them. So it's like, okay, actually it's not, and even then it's like because there's some slight conflict, but they in the end they all ultimately just help him and agree because they all are on the same side and they're all agreeing, like they're kind of on the same page, like trying to help the refugees out and taking the kids, finding homes for them in the midst of this catastrophe. Like that's helpful. Like it's part of the same goal more or less. So it's like, okay, actually they are kind of like this falls in line with them having their own motivation. It's like, cause they're all there for the same reason. So
yeah.
And maybe it's not super distinct, but they are motivated. Like they all have their own motivation. So
yeah, and I think that individual motivation goes to some of their character development, right? Which is a little less clear as compared to the main character, which is fine. In this case, you are right. And I thought about this too, because I was curious, do you have, because, you know, in a situation like this, there's clear reasons for why they're there, what they're doing. And I think that what made the distinction for me is why or how. Why or how is important in that no one is going to act perfectly the same in every situation. It's just not going to happen. And so how do you see those distinctions? In this case, you see it with the main leader who's over there, Doreen Warner, and she's distinct from Nicholas. She's leading everything, and she goes, oh, I want you, Nicholas, to do this bookkeeping over here. That because we need bookkeepers, or more or less is what she tries to do. And he goes, well, what about all these kids? And she goes, that's way too big of a problem to deal with. We don't have anything for that, and we don't have the time or capacity for that, right? And says, we're trying to deal with the political activists and get them out of the country. That's her priority. And so she pushes back. She says, that's not what we're going to focus on. They're still on the same side, but she's looking for other priorities, right? Mm-hmm. And she sees that as her responsibility in the chain of command, right? Mm-hmm. Other things that come to mind is Martin Blake, where he is given, he sees a problem, right? Getting a couple of the kids out, and they didn't get these last three passports that they needed. And what does he do? He takes it in his own hands to go and bribe a guard to get these passports stamped as verified, legitimate documents so that they can get on the train out of the country, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that there's different things like that. You're not sure if other people would have done that same thing with Martin Blake, but it shows a unique character who does take that initiative, right?
Yeah.
So that I think there were things like that, right? That really gave the edge for the characters. Mm-hmm. Are they all going to be perfectly nuanced and flawed, right? No, we're not going to have eight different factions like, you know, some sort of Game of Thrones or something like that. No, we're not going to have that level of development amongst side characters, but what we do have is characters who are believable, characters who are there for a cause, and that's very clear, but they bring their own flavor to that situation. So that was a little more involved than it needed to be, but when I was thinking about that, I thought that Martin Blake's character was awesome, and Doreen as she develops, and I forget what was the other redhead girl's name. I don't remember, but she was a little more stock, not really, but she was enough there that, and a side enough character that I was fine, you know. Anyways, is the setting believable? What did you think of the setting?
I think the setting is believable. It fits in line with World War II and like what we know of the setting, and it's like, and it fits the idea of like refugees, like trying to escape, like where would they go, like they're homeless essentially, like trying to survive in a land that's not their own, and they're just trying to figure out next steps. And so it's like the whole situation, how this all happened, like what the problem is, like it all fits together and makes sense. So like I was very quickly drawn into the situation, so nothing pulled me out of it.
No, and I would actually say that this is one of those movies that almost needs extra credit for this point, just because even though it's set in our world, there's a couple of things you can do that really gives it that edge and makes it significant for the plot's purpose. And what I'm thinking of specifically is the Jewish synagogue leader who he goes to talk to early on in the story. And in that setting, he starts to ask him questions about, are you a Jew? Do you have, like, what is your history? Do you practice your religion and all of that stuff, right? And it turns out that that's important because he's asking him these questions to figure out, can this Jewish leader trust Nicholas? And if he can, he's going to, and it's important to him because if he does, he's handing over the documentation for hundreds of Jewish children to try to get them saved. And he has no idea, like, is this man really going to save these kids? Does he have pure motives, or is he going to be a malicious man who's going to, you know, sell my kids into slavery or whatnot? He doesn't know. You know, he's just a man trying to survive a war, and he's very scared and he has to be very careful. And so that was where the cultural setting that they put it in and the religious setting of the one group comes into contact with our main character, and it affects that. So the setting, perfect. A lot of things about how they set up the German area also was amazing. I think, for example, the other thing I wanted to note was the German forces, right? And they were a force to be afraid of. But that being said, is they didn't just throw that all on you all at once. They slowly introduced the German elements into it, in that they talk about it a lot. They talk about people then disappearing. Then they show the actual forces in the area. They start showing the flags everywhere. And then you start to see actual German soldiers interacting with people, right? Questioning what they're doing. And then you see them, you know, on and on. Anyways, like the way that they developed so many different elements of what was going on in World War II into how they told this story was very good. And that's, I think, what's critical, because when you said the summary, okay, you said this movie is about someone who goes over to Czechoslovakia to help with the refugee crisis going on right before World War II, right? That's the summary. And if you think about that, and you think about what actually occurs, at least in my mind, you can think of many ways in which this story could be told that is okay, but not that good. And there's other ways where you can tell that story, as they clearly did in this example, where they told it very compellingly, right? And that goes back to, I think, how impressed I was with this, especially because I think that you can have all the right elements in place, but if you don't line them up in the right way, it's not going to be as compelling.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's where I think of Dune.
Yeah.
Because I think Dune 2 is, that's where they fell short, is they had a lot of the right elements, but they didn't tell them in the right order to make it as compelling as they could, right? And that's where, in my mind, this movie got better ranks and points than Dune did, because they did put those pieces in at the right spots.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
But go ahead, you were going to say something.
No, I was actually going to lead into another point, because I was going to say that also kind of plays into the whole like villain aspect, because in a way, the Nazis are the villain of this movie, and it's like, clearly they have the power to, like, they are the enemy, and they have the power to stop what Nicholas is doing, to stop their group. And it's also like, and the way they're introduced, as you said, it's a slow build, where it's like, and it's almost like both gives them this presence, where it's like this unstoppable force in the movie, like this, the idea of them, where it's like, once they take control of the area, there is no like getting people out. They're like, these Jews are stuck. Right. And it's like, right. But at the same time, it also creates this like time bomb effect, where it's like, there's a time, like, if you only have until this time to get the Jews out. And so it's almost like creates this tension in the movie. And as the movie progresses, we get these little like notes where it's like, it's past this point, and it's like, it's getting closer and closer. And it's almost like with the, like what the reports of them coming in, people going missing. And then we actually see Nazis in the town in Prague and in Czechoslovakia. And then it's like the scenes on the train, until finally we get the report that they're closing down the borders, and it's like, like, it's like, it's all leading to that point, and it's like, and it just adds to the tension you feel in the movie as you're watching these events unfold.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. How they told it, like, amazing, and that's what really blew me away. And that's one thing I want to say about the interspersion of the old person story, more or less, the old life versus the
modern,
the young
day
life.
Versus the old, like, yeah.
Yes. Old Nicholas versus young Nikki, right? And you, at first I was really annoyed, like, why do we keep going back to the old version, right? Like, I don't find that as interesting as the young version. Okay, let's just go back to the young version. And then as it developed, I saw that there was two very good reasons for why that was in place, and actually made the story a way better story. And we'll get to those. So stay tuned. But yes, is there a compelling motive for the protagonist? We kind of already touched on this, but
I will say this movie does succeed at something, like as far as motive goes, where it's like show, don't tell, where it's like before he even commits to the cause, we see him walking through the refugee camps, and like we're shown, like, it shows him like cutting to different people, different like families as they're struggling on, like, and you see them in different states of like pain or loss or like struggling, like, and that's doing mundane tasks, but you clearly see the squalor, you see the dirt, you see everything going on, and like it creates sympathy inside of you. So like when he says he wants to help the children and help the people, like, it it's a natural outflow of everything we just saw before that, where it's like you understand completely why he's on this, like he decides to take this on.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a amazing motive, and we're shown why beforehand. So it naturally fits with everything. Like the audience is led to the same thing along with the Nicholas.
No, and I 100% agree. The other thing they do well with that is they let you sit in it, which mm-hmm. I thought was excellent. Is, you know, at the same time that he's handing out this chocolate and taking a picture of the kids, the father comes over and takes the kids away, right? Because he doesn't know who Nicholas is. Why is he taking pictures of my children? Is he a German spy? Is he going to take my kids away? You know, like, and at first, you don't realize that's what he's thinking until later. But when you're seeing that go on, they just let you sit in those situations over and over again so that you are uncomfortable and sympathetic and understanding, rather than just saying, oh, this is an important character. Oh no, they died. That's so sad. And you're like, I saw this person for 30 seconds total screen time. What are you talking about? I don't care about this, you know, versus several of these kids have multiple minutes of screen time in this movie. And it makes you really agonize over what they're going through and understand how, you know, when a kid is saying goodbye to their parent on the train, there's so much hope there, but there's also so much despair there because they are probably never going to see their parent again. And yes, they're going to survive, but at the same time, there is so much being lost.
Yes.
And it's crazy. And so, they are so good at letting you sit in the tension and understand where he's coming from a compelling perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, of course, I almost want to go out and, you know, volunteer for the refugees. Like, look at what's going on. You know, you said it great. So I don't know how I can add to that.
Those scenes on the train are just so, like, when a train is about to leave, like them saying goodbye, they're such gut-wrenching scenes. It's like, it's a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. Like, as you said, like, it's despair and it's like, I'm like, I forget what the other word you use, but
it's hope, you know, you because this is what's, the parents know it's what's best for the kids, but at the same time, you're losing your child. And a lot of them never saw their parents again, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, the villain, you touched on that briefly. Is there anything else you want to note about the Germans and how they're developed in the story?
I mean, clearly we see them like taking the Jews and like imprisoning them, capturing them. And there's a scene on a train where like they're mocking him for like, why are you delivering so many Jewish children? Like we see the antagonism, but like, so like they were good at developing that. That's the only other point I would make. Just seeing the direct like link to them going after specific groups.
You don't get a lot of humanizing of the Germans, and that, and we've touched on villains before, so I don't really want to spend too much time on it because this is this is more of the stock. It is somewhat of a stock villain, but at the same time, the slow revelation of it is. Is really where they play it out well. So you know what the enemy is. It's more of when they're going to strike, and that taking time bomb is a bigger compelling aspect of it because you know why the Germans are there, right?
Yes.
You have Auschwitz going on in the back of your mind. You have no doubt that once they crack down, everyone's done. And so the question is just when that happens. And I think that time aspect is represented by the presence of the Germans. And that's what's a big part of this. Themes. Is there a theme, and is that theme developed as the story progresses?
There's a way, there's like, I almost want to say there's like two themes going on, because there's the aspect where it's like, because he's an ordinary guy. He's not like some amazing like superhero or anything like that. He's just an ordinary guy. He's trying to help in the midst of this dark time. So it's almost like one of the themes of this movie is like how ordinary people can sometimes do so much in the midst of darkness, like in the midst of like hard times and catastrophe. Sometimes it's the ordinary people who can do amazing things. So like that's, I think, one of the themes. The other one plays more into the older side of how like there's only so much you can do. And sometimes what you can do is enough. Like you don't have to save everyone, but what you can do is enough to help, can have great, like the little you can do can sometimes have great results, can have like save many people.
Yeah. And maybe those are more messages in the story. But each of those individual elements for sure, I would say, are a part of it. I put down two as well. So I definitely agree with you. I thought there were strong themes of compassion. Another one is like healing or closure, whatever that exactly looks like in your situation. Very, very strong elements there. And I thought that they played out really well. Like you said early on, Nikki is a nuanced character, and you slowly see more and more where he's coming from. And as that develops, the ideas that are being presented are developed more too, right? He wants to continue doing this refugee work, and his work is like, hey, no, you need to come back and you have work to do. You need to be back here on Monday, right? And so there's those kinds of things that are going on, and you see how much this is torn at his heart when he's still continuing the work when he comes back home. So themes are great. I love the themes. I think they really play into how the story is told well and really send a great message by the end, which you kind of already said. So
yeah,
we'll see how much how well I can come back at that later on. But the movie, does it consistently develop heightened tension in the story? Does the hero get put in a worse situation as the story progresses?
Not necessarily the hero, but the situation gets worse. Where it's like what he's trying to fight for, what he's striving for, it's like it's getting harder and harder to do. And it's funny because like as it gets harder, it's like they start risking more. They start putting more kids on each train progressively, like they're trying to get as many out as possible. It's like the time, like we can see the clock ticking and we can see like but like, yeah, so it's like the pressure amps up as the movie progresses in that.
Yeah.
Like his life is never really on the line, but the kids' lives are. And so maybe that's where the tension comes in.
Yeah. And you know, this is one of those things is not every situation is life need to be on the line, right? And well, I guess there are lives on the line. It's just not his. So, yeah. but my point is that it's what he values, right? Mm-hmm. And if the thing that they value, you understand, you empathize with, then at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Because once that's at stake, then you have a story. Mm-hmm. And that's what you got here. I honestly put this down as almost perfect.
Oh, really?
Like, I really thought the tension in this movie was good. I did have to mark it down a little bit because, frankly, and this is where I go back and forth, right? You have my issue is that there are these lulls in between the conflict with the older version of himself. And those are developing things, but they're pretty long lulls, right? Mm. Where he's kind of figuring out what to do with his scrapbook and what he's, you know, even doing right now, that kind of thing. And it's not bad because you have this idea of rest and ratcheting, right? Where you have a pause between things to let everyone breathe so that when you pull the tension back up, everyone comes along with you and you make this roller coaster of up and down, up and down, up and down. And if you're constantly at the top, you know, constantly in tension, eventually us as audience get numb. We get, humans are very good at adapting to their situations. And so if we're always in tension, we adapt to that level of tension. So by constantly changing it, you are a lot better at pulling people emotionally through a journey. So there's that sense when you go, okay, they did that really well. But at the same time, it's almost like they had too much time with the older version of himself that I think it actually took away from the tension a little bit at times. So I liked it a lot.
Maybe.
Very high marks, but I didn't give it perfect marks.
I could see that. Yeah. I think I gave similar.
I mean, you had to give a lot of things similar because we have the same score.
Somehow, yeah.
Somehow. Never before seen. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say about the older, like, obviously the older person storyline, like, the older version storyline, like, it matters at the end of the story where it's like it does develop his character, like, even in little ways, like, showing, like, his struggle, like, hinting at what he's going through. And also, in a way, like, yeah, a bit rest and ratchet, most of the humor scenes in this movie are probably from when he's older. Now that I'm thinking about it, like all the funny, like to add like levity to the movie, like, because it really is like this tension to like levity, like tension, like almost like that's what it is mm-hmm. in a certain way. But also like there is meaning to both sides of the coin. So
yeah, and I will say that some of the there is some very emotional scenes in this, which we're about to get to one of them, but and some of them are with the older version. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie. The so yeah, let's just get to one of them. The protagonist, does he experience world shattering loss?
Yes, he. It, I mean, and to be perfectly frank, I was hard to say one like world shattering loss because like every time he discovers a kid is missing, especially it's one of the kids we've come to know. It's like it is kind of this like shocking, like oh no, like they're gone. Like you realize there is no saving that kid, and you see the pain on his face as he's like has to mark them as missing.
Yeah.
And it's like, but like every time that happens, it's like, it's a painful like moment for the audience and for him. Mm-hmm. So, but like there, yeah, there's definitely moments like world shattering loss and like, especially the last train, like that's probably the biggest one.
Well, that's what I was thinking of for sure.
Yeah.
Cause you could see that haunts him. Like that absolutely haunts him. The fact that he keeps the paper in the back of his scrapbook of all the kids that were supposed to have gotten on that last train, but didn't. Is a testament to you as an audience to how much he feels devastated by that last train with, you know, 250 kids that didn't end up making it because the border was shut down right then. And that's, you know, it eats at him. That being said, you are absolutely right that every time a kid is lost is a big deal to him. And I think that's a testament too to making you care about a side character just enough that it matters. I'm not sure if you could do this in other situations. I think it's easier.
This is definitely a situation for this particular story. This is definitely something you could do for this kind of story. You can't do it for many other stories. Mm-hmm. Like, considering this is a story about refugees, like trying to rescue refugees from a bad situation, this is one of the few times you could do something like this. This is not like a technique you could replicate in other stories very well. And make it make sense. So
right, exactly. I think because, you know, children are one of the most vulnerable groups you can think of. And there's a lot of, I think, natural empathy that comes for children who are in a vulnerable spot. And this desire to help them is a very understandable desire. There's a lot of people who go into noble causes, you know, whether that's adoption or that's, you know, helping kids who are in the foster care system or, you know, any other number of jobs or doing refugee work like this. You know, there's a lot of people who go into work like that because they believe in helping the disfortune or the misfortuned people of the world. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot easier to look at a situation like that and to develop that connection with a child. And to care genuinely what happens to them so that when something bad happens, it is heartbreaking. I think it's a lot harder to do that for adults or for animals or for other situations. I'm not saying it can't be done. What I am saying is that this was a unique opportunity to develop those connections quickly and multiple characters and then to capitalize on that from a storytelling perspective.
Even then, some of these kids do get screen time. They're like, you see Nicholas interact with them. Like, he plays with them. He talks with them. And, like, we're given these, like, brief moments of interaction. It was like, oh, you like this? I like this, too. Like, and it's like, like, is this your sister? Yeah. It's like you just, like, you get these little interactions. Like, they're so simple, but they build just a little bit of a connection. And it's like, as an audience, it just establishes it in our mind. So when we do, the kid is suddenly disappears or like they're taken by the Nazis, it's like, it is a loss. It is like a painful like moment for all of us.
Right. No, I agree. I'm just thinking of normally if you're gonna take a character and then just kill him off, it doesn't work in my mind. Like,
that's why I said it's for this particular movie, for this particular story. Right. Like, this situation only works for the story they were trying to tell here. You can't take, like, an action epic, like, I don't know, like, take it like a superhero movie or something and do the same thing. It would be really hard to do the same thing with that without it feeling forced.
Right. Well, like the Avengers Age of Ultron, they have the character where Quicksilver dies this in the same movie. And it's semi-effective, but it's not really that effective, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because it's you have to really give someone time to develop who they are, why they're there, why should we should even care that they're still alive at the end of the movie. And they don't do that well with that character. Same thing mm-hmm. happens in GOT at the end with this girl who's supposed to be an ally to the Starks, and then she ends up dying. You know, like there's I've seen multiple examples where they try to have this dramatic slow-mo death of, oh no, they're dead, oh no. And I'm just like, okay, I mean, whether I saw it coming or not, I'm not trying to be heartless. It's just that you didn't develop the connection with them as a character that I genuinely care. Mm-hmm. So I think this was one of those times where not only did they do that well, but they did that well multiple times. And part of that is, going back to what you said, scenario specific. Mm-hmm. I have a chance to ramble, so I did. Revelation. Is there a big revelation in this movie?
I guess in a way, the train... I actually just realized this because I actually didn't put I put 0 points down because there really wasn't like mm-hmm. a big moment of revelation that changes everything. But I just realized, you know, they did hide the fact that the last train failed to leave until that key moment later on when he's older, where he's like, why are these pages blank? And he's like, that's for the last train that didn't leave, like kind of thing. And then we're showing the flashback scene of how the Nazis stormed into the station and stopped the train from leaving and then started tearing kids out of the cars and like separating them from their parents and like people getting arrested, like this whole like traumatizing scene. And it's just like, oh, like what were you saying? We assumed we're kind of left in doubt till that moment, like whether that last train left or not, like we're not actually shown mm-hmm. it leaving. And then it's shown, no, they didn't leave. And it's like, kind of like, mm-hmm. oh, so I mean, yeah. I don't know if that counts as a big revelation, but I just realized, well, actually that kind of, that might because yeah, of how it plays out.
Yeah, that's true. How you play it out is critical. Yeah, I'll think about that. That I might agree with you on that. I didn't give it anything on this either, but yeah. I basically put down here, no, but I could be convinced otherwise here. Okay. And so I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, well, I put 0 down. I literally just thought of that. Well, maybe that counts.
Yeah, I was afraid that someone might put the last bit, which is supposed to be distinct, is having a twist ending, which there wasn't really anything.
Yeah. I put that as separate from the... Yeah, yeah. So, I was like, is the movie have a surprise ending kind of thing? I felt like that was more in line with that question.
And what were you thinking? What did you put down for that?
Like, because you're clearly not expecting... the whole crowd, the audience, in that final scene with him in front of the TV, like on the TV show, or he's sitting in the audience. Mm-hmm. We're told about the two people who wants to meet him, like kids he saved when he was many decades ago, or it's like they want to meet him. So he meets them, but it's like there's someone else like who'd like to meet you too. And there's like, if there's anyone here who has been affected by Nicholas Winton's work, please stand up. And the whole audience stands up behind him because mm-hmm. they were all like impacted by his work in Prague and Czechoslovakia. And it's like this moment that's kind of like, it's helpful for him because it helps him to see how much good his actions did, how many people were saved by his actions, like in one moment. And it's like, it's, I mean, you don't expect it. And it's almost like it's tells the story of like, for him was like helping him to let go, to realize like, maybe he didn't save everyone. Maybe mm-hmm. there was 15,000 people who were killed in the camps who could have been saved, but the 600 he did save, like over 600, like they had families, they had like, and that, like they're all those people who were born after that, like they were, their lives, they're alive because of him, like his work. So it's mm-hmm. like, he has nothing to be guilty of because he did, like he tried his best and people were saved.
Yeah. And that's an incredible scene. There was, you know, one or two scenes in this movie where I did not cry, but I almost cried.
I was heavily moved by those scenes. I will admit, I was heavily moved. I didn't cry. It takes a lot to get me to cry, but like
when I cry, I was... We don't cry in this party. But no, it was quite good. It's very emotional to see, because he, you know, he's so burdened by this guilt in his life. But the contrast of seeing how much good he did in a single moment when all of these people rise up and celebrate him is incredible. And he's an embarrassed little man who's so joyful, but so, you know, a little bit shy, not sure what to do in the situation. But he's so happy as he sees the result of his work in people who are alive around him. And yeah, it's incredible. And the fact that it's a true story too is also incredible. It looks like they were following this pretty closely to the story, especially because they had two different iterations of when he goes into the theater versus, I think, more from a cinematic standpoint, it would have been a much more of a hit if they had just had the one at the end. But it sounded like it, my guess is that they were trying to be more true to the story overall by just having, by having both. But yeah, it's a great scene. It's an incredible ending scene, and I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. What did you think about the hero changing? Did he change in this movie?
I think he learns to let go at the very end, where it's like, he clearly gets this idea like, okay, I don't have to hang on to this guilt anymore. I am not, like, I did what I could. And you see that with him connecting with the people who he did save. Like, the people who, meeting people who he hasn't met in decades, and them remembering like little conversations they had with him. And it's just like seeing those connections rekindle. And it's like, it's so heartwarming to see that. And some of those like final scenes of the movie where it's like, you see him like starting to live again he was living before, but it's just like, you see him like starting to take joy in what he was able to do.
Yeah. So. Rather than being burdened by it, like he seems to have been all previously in the movie. Yeah. It's, I'm not going to add anything to that. It's great. Did the movie have a message that is conveyed in this story?
I feel like I already talked about this. So yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I can reiterate it, but I mean, like, just the idea of like, just like how, like, our efforts now just, like, our small, like, the things we do now, like, even if it is small, like, they can have a dramatic impact. Like, they can save or impact a lot more people than we think.
Yeah, I agree. I put for myself work with compassion without holding it too tightly. And I think that's where you have, that tries to encompass both dynamics, where the compassion that he felt at the beginning combined with the guilt that he holds for not doing enough, it's just so strong on the themes. If you wanted to put down two messages, I would understand, like, they do very well with the messages in this story. So I applaud them because they made it a cohesive story and very compelling. Did the movie leave you satisfied? How did you feel about that ending?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I mean, I think the full circle, total hero's journey moment where they have him go back to his home, back to the pool, but this time he's got the kids and the grandkids and everything with him. You know, he returns to the area that he started from, a changed man, and with this generational history in front of him of people who literally called themselves Nikki's children, right? Because they felt like their lives were owed to this man. And why they exist today is because of him. So it's a beautiful ending scene. I'd watch it again.
Absolutely, me too.
So will you change your rating? What do we think?
Well, it might go up if I decide the big revelation was the train thing, because I didn't give any points before. So I guess maybe it would go up to 8 points. I don't know. Which is fair.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie kind of does deserve the high rating. So, I mean, if there's the only complaint I would have is maybe there's too many, as you kind of said it a little bit, is there are a bunch of like interspersed, like short scenes of him as an older, like adult, but maybe some of them may not have been necessary. but like they kind of show his life and like him interacting with his like wife and like his immediate family, I guess. So like you like so maybe there's a little bit too much of that, but it's not like super like noticeable, like super doesn't wear you down or anything. It's not like, oh, it's so boring. It's like it kind of just shows his character, I guess. So
right. To explain what I meant when I was talking about earlier, there's scenes like with Jonathan Pryce playing Martin Blake, you know, his friend who was helping out a lot and helped get the false passport stamps and things like that. There's like a scene in the middle where they have this extended discussion about the good old days and what he's doing and all this kind of stuff. And it's fine, but it goes on for a decent period of time, and there was things like that where it was pretty drawn out, and I understand it's old men being old men just kind of talking on and on about stuff. They will sometimes do that. I don't know if you've hung out with old people, but it was realistic. It just from a storytelling perspective is a little boring. Which you're supposed to cut out the boring parts, right?
I mean, I personally didn't find the conversation super boring. And I guess because the way they played it, I just thought, I was like, okay, they're just friends. And so this was like, I know, because there's some like joking back and forth throughout it too. So it's like, there is some humor there. That was like fun to watch, like the interplay between Anthony Hopkins and the other guys. So I don't know. But I can see where you're coming from. I guess some people might find it boring. I didn't personally find it boring, but.
That's an example. I think there's other situations too, like cleaning up his house and stuff like that go on a little bit, or the whole scene with him finding a button in his quarters and whatnot. It's like, you know, whatever. If you can make an argument whether or not it's valuable or not to the story, at the end of the day, it makes a lull in the conflict, which conflict is what drives stories. So that's where I'm coming from. But at the end of the day, it's a small thing. You would give it, you might even bring it up to an 8. I would be willing to bump up my score by, you know, 0.2, 0.3, get it right up there close to yours, you know, nice and cuddly. Let's get those a little bit separated, though. We can't be exactly the same. I don't know what's going on there.
Let's just get rid of the 0.00000000005. Let's just get rid of that.
I will try to get rid of that. I have no idea what happened there, but we will figure that out. Okay. And we will figure out another plot. Next week. That's right. We will be back, and we hope to see you then. See you all next time.